Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. That's you too. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say it's the arch of my back. It's the sun of my smile. It's the right of my breasts. It's the grace of my style. I am woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair. I am woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. The first National Women's Day was observed in the United States on February 28, 1909. The Socialist Party of America designated this day in honor of the 1908 garment workers' strike in New York, where women protested against their working conditions. When I asked some of you who your favorite women role models were, I got tons of feedback. Too many to incorporate this morning, so I'm going to ask you to shout out the names of the women who have been your role models. Who was the trailblazer that was there for you when you needed that oomph, that get up and go, that realization that you were a phenomenal woman?
Carol King.
Your mother, what is her name?
Teresa Vargas.
Eleanor Roosevelt. Mary Swain. Julia.
Julia Gordon Lowe.
Gloria Anzaldúa. Michelle Obama. Keep it coming. Shout it out. Say it. Just say it. Phenomenal. Your mother, yes, phenomenal woman. Who else?
Geraldine Ferraro.
Geraldine Ferraro, yes. Just shout it out. Don't wait your turn. Don't raise your hand. Shout it out.
Harriet Tubman.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
Shirley Chisholm.
Hillary Clinton. Let's shout out the name of our moms. Our grandmas. Our sisters, our friends, if you identify as a woman, shout out your own name, please. All right. Yes. Phenomenal women you are. And to the phenomenal men who are feminists, yay. I'd like to call out the name of Olympia Brown, who was ordained by the St. Lawrence Association of Universalists in 1863.
She is one of my ancestors. She was a trailblazer. I debated about who I was going to dress up like today. I thought I wanted to dress up like the poet Gabriela Mistral from Chile. Then I thought, no, I want to be Rigoberta Menchú. Then I thought, no, and I went down the line. I had so many women, pioneers, so many women who have inspired me. And then I thought, you know what? The best way to honor International Women's Day, the best way to honor my own mother and my grandmother is to dress up as who I am, a Unitarian Universalist minister. We're still only a handful of ordained ministers who identify as feminists and as Latin Americans and as people of color, but we are growing in number. And I am proud to be part of this tradition. And I am grateful to have a community like this to be able to live into my calling to the ministry. Because for many years, women were not allowed to enter seminary. Women were trained as assistant ministers or community ministers without pay while they were nurses and teachers and raise their children and, you know, work 24/7. So I am grateful because this is a great gift and a great privilege to be able to answer the call to the ministry as a woman. I also like to call out the name of Sophia Lyons Foss, who revolutionized the way traditional religious education was taught, making complex theological concepts and history accessible and exciting for children through storytelling, painting, gardening, and other forms of creative self-expression. Foss wrote over 40 books and served as editor of children's materials for the American Unitarian Association. Living to the age of 102, Foss never ceased in her quest for knowledge and innovation. I like to call out the name of Margaret Fuller. She was an author, an editor, a critic, a teacher, a feminist, a revolutionary who played a key role in the Transcendentalist movement. She served as a war correspondent and wrote about poor conditions in prisons and mental health hospitals for the New York Tribune. She's best known for writing the first American manifesto for women's equality, Women of the 19th Century, published in 1845. I'd like to call out the name of Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. Before there was Rosa Parks or Virginia Woolf, there was Frances Ellen. She was a prolific writer, a lecturer, a reformer. She wrote many books of poetry with strong anti-slavery themes, as well as a novel. She was a member of both the African Methodist Episcopal Church and the Unitarian Church. She never gave up either one. Watkins once refused to give up her seat on a Philadelphia streetcar. When the conductor refused to take her money at the end of the ride, she threw it on the floor and left. She was undoubtedly a courageous and powerful voice for justice. And she wrote this, Learning to Read. Very soon the Yankee teachers came down and set up school. But oh, how the Rebs did hate it. It was aging, the rule. Our masters always try to hide book learning from our eyes. Knowledge didn't agree with slavery. It would make us all too wise. But some of us would try to steal a little bit from the book and put the words together and learn by hook or crook. I remember Uncle Caldwell, who took pot liquor fat and greased the pages of his book and hid it in his hat. And had his master ever seen the leaves upon his head, he'd have thought them greasy papers, but nothing to be read. And there was Mr. Turner's Ben, who heard the children spell and picked the words right up by heart and learned to read them well. Well, the northern folks kept sending the Yankee teachers down.
And they stood right up and helped us, though Rebs did sneer and frown. And I longed to read my Bible, for precious word it said. But when I began to learn it, folks just shook their heads and they said, "There's no use trying. Oh, Chloe, you're too late." But as I was rising 60, I had no time to wait. So I got a pair of glasses and straight to work I went and never stopped till I could read the hymns and testament. Then I got a little cabin, a place to call my own, and I felt independent as the queen upon her throne. And I like to lift up Lucy Gonzalez Parsons. She was a labor organizer and a socialist leader. She was a radical woman. She was an anarchist. She was the founder of the Industrial Workers of the World. She was a writer and a public speaker. Parsons was described by the Chicago Police Department as more dangerous than 1,000 rioters. Lucy Gonzalez. Often her name is read as Lucy Parsons and the Gonzalez is left out. But she was Native American, African American, and Mexican. She married Albert Parsons in 1871. And in 1872, while the South was instituting repressive Jim Crow segregation laws, Lucy and Albert were forced to leave Texas due to their political involvement and for being in a mixed marriage. Albert had worked diligently on registering black voters and was shot in the leg and threatened with lynching. Due to intolerance of their interracial marriage, the couple was forced to leave Texas and move to Chicago. They advocated on behalf of workers' rights, political prisoners, people of color, the homeless, and women. The Parsons were arrested many times for giving public speeches and distributing anarchist materials. By 1886, across the U.S., people were calling for an 8-hour workday, proclaiming, "Whether you work by the piece or work by the day, decreasing the hours increases your pay." May 1st was chosen as the day to kick off the official movement for the 8-hour day. 350,000 workers across the nation walked off their jobs to participate in a mass general strike. 40,000 workers struck in Chicago, creating a whirlwind of radical activity and convincing prominent radical leaders such as Lucy Parsons that the country was ready for a workers' revolution. In 1887, her husband was arrested and subsequently executed in Illinois for his assumed involvement in the Haymarket riot. On November 11, 1887, Lucy brought her two children to see their father one last time, but she was arrested, along with her children. They were all taken to jail, forced to strip, and left naked in a cold cell until the hanging of her husband was over. In tears upon her release, she vowed to continue to fight injustice. Lucy Parsons wrote for multiple radical publications, and in 1905, she founded the Industrial Workers of the World. In 1915, she organized the Chicago hunger demonstrations, and she envisioned the sit-down strikes in the workplace. For almost 70 years, Lucy Parsons fought for the rights of the poor and disenfranchised in the face of an increasingly oppressive industrial economic system. Lucy's radical activism challenged the racist and sexist sentiment in a time when even radical Americans believed that a woman's place was in the home. Lucy Parsons continued giving public speeches well into her 80s and died at the age of 89 in a house fire. And I like to call the name of Berta Cáceres, presente. This year marks
the one-year anniversary of the killing of environmental activist Berta Cáceres from Honduras. The world has lost a beloved and important woman. She was a member of the indigenous Lenca group in Honduras. Internationally, she was recognized for her work to protect the Hualcarque River. Cáceres co-founded the National Council of Popular and Indigenous Organizations of Honduras, COPIN is the acronym, through which she led opposition to the Aguasarca Dam, one of the largest hydroelectric projects in Central America. The Aguasarca Dam was to be built on the Hualcarque River, the spiritual home of many Lenca and a vital source of water and food to the communities that live on its bank. After COPIN held a march in Rio Blanco in February, she and other participants were confronted and detained by the Honduran army, local law enforcement, and employees of the dam company. On previous occasions, Cáceres had received warnings that she would be murdered if she continued her campaigns. The Lenca people, for whom the Hualcarque River has an important agricultural and spiritual value, vigorously protested against the project and blocked the construction for several years. As a result, the dam builder militarized the region. According to Human Rights Group, Honduras is ranked among the world's most dangerous countries for environmental activists. At least 116 environmental activists were murdered in 2014, 40% of them indigenous people. The case of Berta Cáceres is emblematic of the systematic targeting of environmental defenders in Honduras and elsewhere in Central America and South America. Since 2013, three of Berta's colleagues have been killed for resisting the hydro dam on the Hualcarque River. In 2015, Cáceres was awarded the prestigious Goldman Environmental Prize, which recognizes individuals for sustained and significant efforts to protect and enhance the natural environment. Often at great personal risk, she persisted. Now, Cáceres was realistic about the risks that she faced, but she said she felt obliged to fight, and she urged others to persist with her. She said, "We must undertake the struggle in all parts of the world, wherever we may be, because we have no other spare or replacement planet. We have only this one, and we have to take action," she said. "The Hualcarque River has called upon us, and have other gravely threatened rivers. We must answer their call. The rivers are calling us to persist. Our Mother Earth, militarized, fenced in, poisoned, a place where basic rights are systematically violated, demands that we take action." She said, "Let us build societies that are able to coexist in a dignified way, in a way that protects life. Let us come together," she said, "and remain hopeful as we defend and care for the blood of this earth and for its spirits." She said, "I dedicate this award to all the rebels out there, to my mother, to the Lenca people, to Rio Blanco, and to the martyrs who gave their lives in the struggle to defend our natural resources." Berta was 44, a fearless human rights and environmental justice activist, a mother of four, a hero to rural indigenous populations in Honduras and the world. On the one-year anniversary of her death, we remember her. There is a Honduran saying that Cáceres' family and friends keep repeating. They say, "Berta no murió, se multiplicó." Berta didn't die, she multiplied herself, and I would add, in us. For more than 100 years, people across the world have come together on March 8th to celebrate the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. This idea began with 15,000 women marching through the streets of New York City, demanding shorter work hours, better pay, and the right to vote. The concept of National Women's Day has spread to other nations and has become International Women's Day. The International Women's Day theme for this year is Be Bold for Change. It is a call to challenge gender bias and inequality, to campaign against violence, and to forge women's advancement, to celebrate women's achievements, and to champion women's education. This year on International Women's Day, we are invited to participate in A Day Without a Woman, a strike planned by the organizers of the Women's March on Washington. Women and their allies can join the strike by taking the day off from paid or unpaid labor, if feasible. They can also wear the color red in solidarity with A Day Without a Woman. And they can meet in Oakland from 6 to 9 p.m. at the plaza. We want to contribute to the development of this new, more expansive feminist movement. On March 8th, we want to join with feminist groups from around 30 countries who have called for the strike. The idea is to mobilize women, including trans women and all who support them, in an international day of struggle. We want to embrace a feminism for the 99%. We take inspiration from the Argentinian coalition, Ni Una Menos, Not One Less. Violence against women, they say, has many facets. It is domestic violence. It is the violence of the market, of capital, of the state, the violence of discriminatory policies against lesbian, trans, and queer women, the violence of state criminalization of migratory movements, the violence of mass incarceration, and the institutionalized violence against women's bodies through abortion bans and lack of access to free health care. All women deserve a life free of violence, both domestic and institutional. Working women, trans women, and women of color who face the worst aspect of direct institutionalized violence. Against all such state and personal violence, we demand that our lives and labor be treated with dignity, for we form the basis of this society. So we have a date, March 8th, the Oakland Plaza, 6 p.m. We have got to act. Let us join together. Let's meet in the streets, Oscar Grant Plaza, for Berta, for Clara, for Lucy, for Eleanor, for Hillary, for Rosa, for Dolores, for our mothers, for our grandmothers, for ourselves, and for the next generation of feminists. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.